On the podcast Death, Sex, and Money, we are not afraid of hard conversations.
Have you thought back and wished you'd gone to a different industry?
I could only regret it if I felt guilty of something.
Listen to Death, Sex, and Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And last year we had American Muslims Aman Ali and Bassam Tariq on the show when they spent each night of Ramadan, the holiest month in the Islamic calendar, in a different mosque in New York City. 30 mosques in 30 days all around New York. With the start of the holiday for this year last Wednesday, Ali, a stand-up comedian, and Tariq, a filmmaker, set out on an even more ambitious road trip to every night visit a different mosque in a different state. So they are documenting their experiences in the blog, 30 Mosques in 30 Days. Thursday, the first night of their journey, Ali and Tariq visited Park 51, which is the site of the proposed mosque and Muslim community center near Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan. Since then, they have visited mosques in Maine, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania. They're in Philadelphia now, and later today will travel to the nation's capital. Aman Ali and Bassam Tariq join us now on the phone. Welcome back to WNYC. Hi, guys.
Thanks for having us.
How are you doing?
Last year, you visited mosques here in New York City. Why did you decide to travel across the country?
Well, one of the things that we wanted to do this time around was really celebrate an America that's not really seen in the mainstream narrative and really give people a glimpse into the lives of these Muslims. One of the notions that's perpetuated right now is that the transatlantic immigration that happened in the 80s is really where the Muslim narrative begins, but that's not true, actually. Islam and Muslims have been a part of the narrative and the fabric of this country for quite a while. I mean, I'd say since its inception.
You wrote on your blog, Aman, the blog 30 Mosques in 30 Days, that you were expecting to feel transformed walking into the prayer room that's at the site of the proposed Ground Zero Mosque. But once inside, you wrote, quote, "I realized it's just the mosque, just like any other place of worship in the country. So the only thing I was feeling was an earache from all the screeching on the microphone from the sound system." Just like every mosque in America. First of all, is that a problem? Is that a widespread problem?
I'm teasing. I mean, it happens in any community, but obviously it's not like an obligatory part of it. But yeah, I walked inside the place. You know, it's like, oh, this is a place that's getting all the controversy. I don't even know what I was expecting to feel. I was expecting to feel, and I wrote about how I was expecting to feel some kind of mythical transformation just praying there. And maybe 5-10 minutes into it, I completely forgot that I was in Park 51. I just felt like I was praying among my Muslim brothers and sisters. And so it was interesting because when you step inside, all that controversy and all that back and forth and, you know, whatever you want to call it, that ends at the door as soon as you walk in.
Has your lighthearted tone, again, you're a stand-up comedian, changed at all from last year, considering the controversy over the Ground Zero Mosque?
Not necessarily. Like I said, it's been an ongoing issue, and at the end of the day, it's when you walk inside, you see nothing but smiles on people's faces. People are there to pray. People that are there to worship aren't really trying to get involved in the whole back and forth, and to me, it hasn't really changed anything. In fact, it's actually made me appreciate who I am, my identity, a lot more, if anything.
So there are approximately 800,000 Muslims in New York City, but only 12 Muslim families in Augusta, Maine, the second stop on your journey. So, Tariq, you noted on the blog that there are no halal meat markets nearby, so each week the families designated someone to drive 4 hours to Boston to pick up the halal meat. That's certainly a different lifestyle from living in Brooklyn. What did those families share with you about being members of such a small community?
I think one of the great things they had is, like, they have a very close-knit community, and everyone kind of just comes to everyone's house, and they share a lot of the problems that everyone else does with everyone, and all their kids are actually growing up together as well. So I think what's so beautiful about their community is how diverse it is. One of the guys that we met there when we got in was from Hyderabad, India, who came as a pharmacist. A lot of the people that started out in that community actually came as doctors and pharmacists. The masjid itself right now, which is a small little It's like in a town home, and it's in like the first floor of the town home. It's actually a medical center. So you've got a lot of different medical practices, and then you have this small little mosque on the side. So the Hyderabadi guy that we met there, he actually ended up marrying somebody that he was working with, a white woman who embraced Islam. And they've been married for about, I think, 3 to 4 years now. And, I mean, everyone's kind of found their own balance, I think, their own happy medium of how they're practicing Islam. And I think it's really fascinating. What's interesting is, though, that now they're actually thinking about building a mosque. They just got this new site. So it'll be interesting to see now where that goes with the community, because they've been accepted for quite a while. I mean, they're very small, 12 families. But now that they're going to be building a bigger site, I think that's sort of the test of the community's acceptance. And I think it'll go well. When we were in Maine, we had a blast.
Are you choosing the 30? Obviously, there are so many mosques around the country, many, many, many more than 30 at this point. Are you choosing the 30 to represent a certain diversity within Islam?
I don't think that's what it is. I mean, we're trying our best to find these small communities that people haven't heard of. Like, for example, yesterday I was at Bawa Moyadin's Mazar, and that was just fascinating. But at the same time, we wouldn't want to just put a big brushstroke or give this definitive, these are the 30 mosques that you need to know. But there is a little bit of that, hey, look, you're not alone, and these are other communities that are just also struggling, just like you. And not just that, but also just show the diversity within the community here.
Well, since you're doing this for 2 years in a row now, maybe you're going to institutionalize this and do this every year in one form. I don't know. Maybe it depends on how your stand-up and filmmaking careers go. But I wonder, maybe we'll give our Muslim listeners right now a chance to vie for a 30 mosques in 30 days visit next year. I assume all your 2010 locations have already been selected. So Muslim right. listeners, call up and tell us what is special about your mosque so that our guests, Saman Ali and Bassam Tariq, should go and include your mosque in 30 mosques in 30 days in 2011. All right? We have about 8 or 9 minutes for this. Call up and give a 30-second blurb for your mosque and why it should be included. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Aman, what's the main audience you're trying to reach with this whole project? Is it other Muslims? Is it non-Muslims, to kind of humanize the whole experience to people who may be going, oh, Islam, oh, that's foreign, that's weird. So what's the point?
The beautiful thing about this project is it kind of appeals to everyone in different kinds of ways. There's some people during Ramadan just love thinking about food, and so they want to know what are we eating and what we're doing. And there's people that are curious that kind of live in a small town community, don't really know what's outside in other states. So maybe it's Muslims that want to know, hey, what's it like for Muslims in New Hampshire or in Maine or in Arizona and things like that. So it gives them opportunity. Non-Muslims, tend to have a curiosity. Well, I know what a Muslim is. I've never really met one. What is it like? What do they do inside the mosque? So we try to write our posts in a way that all people can appreciate it, because we've noticed, and based on the response we've been getting from people, people enjoy different aspects of it, and it resonates with people in many different ways, whether it be on an intellectual, a spiritual, or even, just and an entertainment standpoint. We try to make it fun. We don't really want to make it like academic, because at the end of the day, this is a Ramadan road trip. It's two guys on an adventure. So
yeah.
Part of the experience is not just the mosque itself. It's about the people we meet along the way. Maybe we might stop at a crazy diner where there's a waitress with an eye patch. We'll write about that. So it's not really specifically, obviously the mosque is an important part of the aspect, but it's mostly about the journey and the adventure we're taking as well.
And it's about the food, admit it, right?
Absolutely. That's part of it.
You want to talk about the diversity of the food a little bit? You know what's funny? I think in general, the media, when they talk about Ramadan, talk about it as a time that Muslims fast. But clarify this for me if I'm wrong. Yes, it's a time that you fast during the day, but then at night, people are encouraged to pig out.
Not necessarily. I mean, everything is in moderation. So as Muslims, we have to fast from sunrise to sunset. You know, this is a trait that many religions follow. And, you know, during the day, we abstain from, you know, food, water, and drinking. And even at night, it's not that you pig out. I mean, obviously, people are hungry. But even in Islam, it tells, you know, be moderate with what your intake is and things like that.
It would be wrong to say that there's a feast every night of Ramadan, a fast followed by a feast.
Well, a feast in the sense that it brings people together, and it's more of a community-based eating. A Ramadan is a month that shouldn't be practiced alone. You know, that's the whole purpose of one of the things we love about this project is we're not just, you know, going to mosque by ourselves. We're brought together with people, and it's amazing how you can bring people together in front of a plate of food.
Right. And, of course, no disrespect meant when I was joking about pigging out. The idea of the feast. Muhammad in Greenpoint, you have a mosque to recommend?
Yes, sir. I am from Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and we have a mosque here. Formerly, it was church. Now we converted it into mosque, and it is a very good Islamic center.
Who's the community, for the most part, the congregation?
Muslims.
I know. From what culture?
It is mostly Yemenis. Egyptians, India, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis.
So diverse.
You said it's in Greenpoint?
Yes.
Cool.
How's your voodoo place? How's the bathroom? Is it nice?
Yes.
The bathroom? You're asking him how the facilities are?
Yes. The facilities
well,
are there.
Well, this is the thing. All right, Brian. The bathrooms in, like, the masjid are very important because of ablution, because you have to wash yourself. And I think New York's notorious, at least with the place that we visited in Manhattan. Bless their hearts. But, I mean, so many people come in and out that the places get dirty very quick because you have to wash your hands, wash your feet. So it's like a slippery when wet signs kind of embroidered into the ground or into the carpet.
Dobbs Ferry has one. Hi, Jane.
Hi. There's a mosque in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which is one of the oldest mosques in the country. The people there are fourth-generation Americans.
And Jane, we're actually scheduled to go there. That's actually one of the stops on our tour. It's from what we understand, it's the first mosque that was built as a mosque in the United States. So when we found out about that place, it was a no-brainer. It's called the Mother Mosque in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I believe it was built, I think it was 1934 is when it was originally built.
Yeah. Hakeem and Elizabeth, you got a mosque?
Yes, yeah, Salaam Alaikum.
Me too.
The mosque is Mosque Ibrahim in Newark, and the imam is Imam Mustafa. And the reason why I think it's special is because what he's done, he started out when he first became the imam with the kutbah with the Al-Fatiha, and then the next kutbah was Baqarah, which is the second chapter in the Quran. And then each Jummah he's doing the next surah or chapter in the Quran. So if you want to know what the kutbah is going to be about, you just need to know what surah he's up to before that chapter before that, and then go hear his sermon or kutbah.
Hakeem, thank you very much. So, guys, how important is the personality of the individual imam presiding over each service?
I think it's pretty important. I can give you an example of one place, the ICNYU, the Islamic Center at NYU. The imam there is Khalid Latif, and who's also the chaplain at the NYPD. And he's just an amazing personality, and he's really brought a lot of different people together. Another community in the Bronx that we visited, he was this Arab man, and he brought all these different people. There were a lot of Black Americans, Hispanics, in the small little basement masjid. And I think that leader is such an important person, and he has to be likable. I mean, it's crucial.
And my favorite imam was one in Staten Island we visited last year. He's from Morocco. His English isn't the greatest, but he's a diehard New York Jets fan. And there's a sign that says, you know, the imam is available for 5 daily prayers. And then below it, somebody wrote, except on NFL Sundays. So he doesn't show up to lead the prayer when the game's on.
Yeah, and his prayers have not been very effective in recent years, but I guess that's another story. All right. Ahmad Ali and Bassam Tariq. Spending each night of Ramadan in a mosque in a different state. They are blogging at, what's the exact web address?
It's 30mosques, MOSQUES.com.
And it's the 30 Mosques in 30 Days Project. Thank you very much. It's been fun.